Job chapter 14, verse 1. Man that is born, and he said, man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And you know what I say to that? Amen. 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 You wouldn't think that, but it is so. And I put a note on this message, as I told you, I received this some months ago, to read a passage from an Andrew Murray book called The Power of the Spirit. And I'd like to do that now, if you'd bear with me. And he has a little heading here. It's basically just a paragraph. And he has a little heading here. He said, all human imperfection will prevail as much in the church as in any human society until we know a continual inspiration as the power of deliverance from sin. Thus far, I can tell you after 35 years in ministry and 74 years on earth that less than a handful of men that I know, one including me, believes that a man can be delivered, that I've read, believes that a man can be delivered from the power of sin. And that's an amazing thing to me, because I would think that everyone that's been born again of the Spirit of God would know that thing. But they don't. And thus, Andrew Murray says, whence now come all this folly of doctrines? We've been preaching on that, for a few weeks now? All this folly of doctrines. He said, it is because the church is no longer that spiritual house of God. When did I say he lived? In which nothing is intended and sought. In which nothing is intended and sought after, but spiritual power and spiritual life that has become a mere human building made up of worldly power. It's the gospel truth. That's exactly what the church has become. Worldly learning, worldly prosperity in gospel matters. And therefore, all the frailties, follies, and imperfections of human nature must have as much life in the church as in any other human society. And they do. Every church is just like that. It's just, you go to church, and I told you many times, you may as well go to a lodge meeting. And the best sons of such a church must be forced to plead such imperfections in the members of it, as it must be where the old fallen human nature is still alive. And alive it is, there it must be, and its life defended, that fallen nature defended. And that's what they're preaching this morning. I can tell you right now, they're defending the fallen nature of man, where the being continually moved and led by the Spirit of God, is rejected as gross enthusiasm. I've seen it. For nothing but a full birth, amen, and continual breathing and inspiration by the Holy Spirit is the new man, is the newborn creature, can be a deliverance from all of that which is earthly, sensual, and devilish in our fallen nature. And that's the gospel truth. It is the only thing, no matter how religious you may become. I had the message that I thought God had me bring this morning has the word the law of righteousness. And you think, oh, that's a good thing. No, it's not a good thing. The law of righteousness is a man only going through the motions of being what we're speaking of right here, you see. This new creature born again in Christ of that eternal Word, which created all things in heaven and earth, is both the rock and church of which Christ says, the gates of hell shall never prevail against it. And must against everything, for they will prevail against it, everything but one thing, the new creature in Christ. And every fallen man, be he where he will or who he will, is yet in his fallen state, and his whole life is a mere Egyptian bondage and Babylonian captivity until the heavenly church or new birth from above has taken him out of it. I can tell you, nothing could be more true than that right there. If you've never been changed from a sinner to a saint, you don't belong to him. It's as simple as that. And I go places, well, I'm no saint. That's the preacher. Well, then you're none of his, sir, because all of his are saints. They're saints. The transformation of such is no less astounding than the birth of life itself. As when you and I popped into this world, it's a new life, only it's a new life in the Spirit and in Christ Jesus. And without that transformation, without an understanding of spirit, an understanding of spiritual things is impossible. We know that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. There is a spirit of man, and it's very powerful. And it's been very powerful since he ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But it's yet a carnal spirit of man. But it's a religious knowledge by a being that had all the religious knowledge. Lucifer. And what did he say? I'll be like God. But there is also a spirit of God. Now the scripture I was telling you about, turn to Matthew chapter 13 in the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. I love it. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You see that? And then he says in 10 through 13, the disciples came and said to him, why speakest to them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it's given unto you. Now look at that. Not to them. To you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. Is that totally opposite of everything that you... I listened to a message the other day by a preacher. I wanted to hear this message, and I played it for Melissa. And boy, it was a good message. It really was a fine message. It touched me. I love the message. And he gets to the end, every head bowed and every eye closed. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables. That's why I'm speaking in parables. Because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, and neither do they understand. How incredible. Totally juxtaposed to everything, almost everything that you'll probably every church in this town or any town for 500 miles at this hour, you see? Astounding. Jesus stating on the cross itself, he said, they know not what to do. They don't know what they're doing. And they didn't. It's providence of God, you see? One as true a picture of salvation as can be had. If you turn to the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 6. Starting in verse 5, then said I, and this is really to me parallel to Paul's experience on the Damascus Road in the book of Acts. And Smokey Neal's experience on the floor of a little lake house. Then said I, woe is me, I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away. Amen. And thy sin purged. Done. What did he say on the cross? The last three words. It is finished. Right there. And if it's never been finished with you, then you have a problem, because you must be born again. As dramatic as the Damascus Road. And I can't be more serious concerning conversion. If I never preached anything else, conversion. It's not some light, religious, touchy-feely moment in time. It is a totally new birth whereby a human being becomes, all things become new, a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'd like to consider but a few of the aspects. And these are from straight from the Word of God. Baptized into his death. Buried with him. Do you get it? Baptized into his death. Buried with him. Wait, raised with him. Sitting in heavenly places. And of course, the unspeakable, the unpreachable, freed from sin. Or as the old deacon would say, don't preach that. I could surely go on, but because I've got a whole book. The attributes of the new man in Christ Jesus. My own astounding testimony. Transformed, converted, a new creature. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 9 and verse 10. But as it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for who? For them that love him. Reminds me of Romans chapter 8. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the what? The deep things of God. And then you see at the end of the chapter, verse 16, for who hath known the mind of Christ, that he may instruct him? Question mark. You see that? But we, those that have been born again in the Spirit, we have the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. Now here's a great stumbling block to the Church of Christ today. This mind of Christ, this sainthood. Why is it they don't understand it? How is it they don't understand it? We're talking about Germans. They have an understanding of German. How is it they don't understand it? And this compare with the unconverted of the Bible says, none good. Back in the book of Job, where our text was, Job chapter 8, one of Job's so-called comforters, Job chapter 8 and verse 9, Bildad said, for we are but of yesterday and know nothing. Wow. Because our days upon the earth are a shadow. I'm the oldest here. Let me tell you something. Our days upon the earth are but a shadow. Bildad got it right. And he said, we're but of yesterday and know nothing, because we're but a shadow. Now you compare that with the likes of Osteen's Your Best Life Now. And people bought it up. And what was the guy in California? I forget the name of his book. Well, yeah, Warren, what was his name? Do you remember his book? I don't know. Wasn't What Would Jesus Do, but it was
Purpose-driven life.
Oh, you got to have a little deal, you know. Got to have some car selling going on in there, you see. Or any other feel-good gospel boys. I put here, born to die, son. Born to die. You know what we're all born to do? Die. When I prayed this morning, when I got up and sought the Lord, before I ever read this, I said, Lord, the river's coming up. And I've got to cross a river of death that I have never crossed. I saw a shirt the other day, and I wish I could remember the exact saying, because it won't be as neat as what it said, but it said, how can I act my age? I've never been this old before. I've never been this age, you see. Well, there's one thing that no man can help me with, not one man. And that's dying. Nobody can tell me how that's going to be. If somebody tells you they're going to tell you how dying's going to be, well, you're wasting your time. Okay? Because they're dead. The only people who tell you that are dead. They're gone. You see? Born to die, son. And if you can't believe me, let's go to the cemetery. Bible says a few days full of trouble. Yet man is born unto trouble. In Job 5:7, it says, as the sparks fly upward. How quick is that? You ever see sparks come off of fire? Oh, no. And we've got some real young people here. Look at him. And tomorrow, if God wills, he'll be on this end of the table. And y'all won't be here. And they're young. Tomorrow, as the sparks fly upward. So I put here, thus, Mr. Lost Man. I was getting into the Pilgrim's Progress. Thus, Mr. Religious Man, you must be born again. You must be born again. He didn't say to join a church. He didn't say to learn any theology. He said, you must be born again. In John chapter 3, verse 8, one of my very favorite scriptures, it depicts such as most supernatural. You know what it says, right? What does it say?
The wind bloweth where it listeth.
Yes, sir. The wind bloweth where it listeth. And thou, thou hearest the sound thereof. And know not whence it cometh, or whither it goeth. So is every man that's born of the Spirit. Well, explain it to me, preacher. I just did. I love what Jesus told Nicodemus. Art thou master of Israel and knowest not these things? You've been preaching 30 years and you don't know. You've been claiming God. You've been praying. You've been leading singing. You've been playing the piano in the church. You've been doing this and you've been doing that and knocking on doors. And you know not these things? I don't think you'd believe me if I told you all the people, all the religious people I've come in contact with, that I had absolutely no witness of conversion. None at all. Amazing. No witness of conversion. What I tell you before, A.W. Pink said he believed that 95% of the people were lost, or 90%, I don't remember. And he said, that's the people in church. I'm not counting the ones outside the church. I was telling some men this week at a luncheon, I said, you'd better consider there are only 8 souls saved in the deluge. 8. And I said, there were millions upon the earth. I learned a new word this morning, the book of Jeremiah. You know, I like words. Execration. Anybody know that word? I didn't. Execration. E-X-E-C-R-A-T-I-O-N. Execration. It means, wait a minute, let me read to you, because I can't say it as bad as what it means. An act or instance of cursing. A curse dictated by violent feelings of hatred. An imprecation, another word. An expression of utter detestation. Now, who would have that feeling? Execration. God Almighty. And he said, you go to Egypt, you're going to be in execration. We remember the deluge, just mentioned it. The eight souls saved. You remember the 10 lepers? Healed? But only one. Only one thanked God for it, you see. There were only 7,000 in Elijah's Israel. And there were probably millions there. Few, he said, few be saved. So, how can I speak of such? The modern evangelist declares thousands saved. Almost daily. Oh, we had 25 saved in Sunday school this morning. I've preached to some of those guys in jail. You see? Where are they? Most of them are yet out in sin. Free from sin, saints. Has the seraphim's cold never touched your mouth? As Isaiah. Have you never lain prone as one dead, only to arise a new creature in Christ Jesus? No longer in the flesh, but in the spirit. Have you never come to yourself? Have you never been blind, but now you see? And the life that I now live, you see. And so much the more. Behold, what manner of love the Father's bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. How marvelous. How utterly supernatural and marvelous. So the question comes, are you of the world? Now this seems easy as we observe those around us, especially today, and that we read the latest news, especially today. But it was the religious people, it was the church people that Christ was talking to. And it was the religious people that Isaiah was talking to. And it was the religious people that John the Baptist was talking to. Not the world. Those not like those of the world. The religious people. Angels of light. Ministers of righteousness. And that's why the knowledge of these things that we're speaking of, and that you and I know, all the folks here, that we know, seem to know a lot about. You can't take the knowledge of these things. This religious knowledge, it cannot be a litmus test of the new birth. Because the great counterfeit's 99% correct. He was second in command to God Almighty. Who knows more the things of God than Satan himself? It's very difficult to discern, now listen to me, the righteousness of the saints. When, listen, works aren't the benchmark. It's very difficult to discern the righteousness of the saints when works aren't the benchmark. A sinner to a saint, holy child of God, from darkness to light. Not this light. This light. Because man produces light, doesn't he? Don't have to have the sun anymore. We've got lights at night. You see? All the creeds, doctrines, canons, preachers, hymns, religious teachings, books, all that, everything that exists in the world can't take a sinner and make him a saint. Can't do it. You see? That's very important. That which isn't all good isn't good at all. That which isn't all good isn't good at all. And you better get that. Nor that which can take away any sin, that which can take away any sin. You see, only that which can take away all sin. And that's the difference. All sin. How on God's earth am I going to heaven if I got one sin? How's that going to happen? Somebody want to explain that to me? Your sins shall be washed white as snow. Oh, except that one. I'm leaving that one on you. See, one way, Christ. Christ Jesus. Christ Jesus. And when we go anywhere other than what I just told you, you're sliding, you're blaspheming the crucifixion, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. You're saying he didn't get it done. Hear and hear well, that which takes away all sin, and that only is salvation. You say you don't sin? I didn't say that. I'm not preaching perfection here. And that's the only true trait of a holy child of God. I'm not preaching perfection. I'm preaching conversion. I am preaching conversion. You're either dead to all sin or you're not. Well, I don't believe that. That's somebody said. Turn to 1 John. Oh, wait, don't preach that. Please don't go to 1 John. How many preachers you know preach this? Ever. Ever. Go back. Try to find it. And if they do, they'll Osteen it. You mark it down. 1 John chapter 3, verse 6 through verse 10. Now listen to it. This is the word of God. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Oh, but that doesn't mean, no. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, you and I, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinned from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. He cannot sin because he's born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. And that's Bible. And the modern church dispels this at all costs. It has to. And there won't be left anybody left of the 90%. They'll all be gone, you see. You remember what we read by Andrew Murray when we started? Is the standard of God too high? Can he not raise new creatures to the standard? That of Christ? Is or was he not able? At what cost? A great cost. The greatest of costs. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Do I ever preach on Sunday and not say that? I wonder. I'm trying to think. It seems like every time I say it, I go, well, I think I say that every Sunday. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And Paul said, God forbid. How shall we that are what? Dead to sin live any longer therein? So I'd ask you this morning, do you really believe man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble? Do you really believe that? Who believes that? None good? Who believes that? The preacher. When I say the preacher, you know who I'm talking about? Ecclesiastes. You know that, right? And the preacher, he prays the dead. I told you, I alluded to this, I think, when I prayed. He prays the dead, which are already dead, more than the living. How about that? We've all buried somebody. He prays the dead, which are already dead, more than the living, which are yet alive. Who believes that? Nobody I play golf with believes that. Because they always go, well, you still got the good deal. And I go, well, not according to, no. No, the good deal's coming. You know, they really don't believe that. And they're honest. They go, well, I like it here. Yeah, I know. You do. Yeah. The cross, necessary. Also, he says, yea, look, better is he than both them, the dead or the living, which hath not yet been. Wow. That's incredible. There's somebody that's better off than the dead and the living, that which hasn't yet been. Why? How? Who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun? That's Ecclesiastes 4, 2 and 3, if you want that. Well, who believes this? Such is the need of salvation. So much so that we had to have Calvary. I won't preach Calvary this morning. We watched that movie on World War I. You think, what could be more horrible than this? Calvary. Calvary. And if you can't recognize such, you are as yet none of his. I remember nothing of my physical birth. I'm awestruck. My spiritual birth. You must be born again.